Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Raise up the mic. It's never legal to have it on when you first step up, though. You do know that. They take away your broadcasting license if you have it on right away. I'm glad you're here tonight. It's good to have each one here. And I see my friend here, Brother Steve Jones. We've known each other for quite a while, haven't we, Steve? He served with me on staff at Shambach Ministries when I pastored there, and is an active partner with me today in this ministry. It's awful nice for him to jump on in and be with us tonight. You know, tonight, one of my favorite nights. Tonight, here's what I'm going for tonight. I'm going for everybody. Someone say everybody. Everybody receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, I know some of you already got it, so you'll just have to double up. But for those of you that have never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, can I help you with this? This is easy. And anything that God does is easy. If you struggled with it, well, that's very simple. So I wonder why I struggled. I know why. Because we just haven't gone ahead and rested in Him yet. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. Don't ever forget that. If it's hard, it's not God. Did y'all get that? If it's hard, it's not God. Wow. You see, it's not hard to get saved. It's impossible if you try to do it yourself. Did you all understand that? If you say, well, I'm going to try to do right and be good enough, and, you know, I won't make the whole deal, but I'll just give it my very best, and I'll really put my first, you know, best foot forward, then you'll miss it. It won't happen that way. The harder you try, the more you'll miss it. We don't even understand that because we have great intentions. We think that we're actually, at least, you know, doesn't God see that we're trying? No, He does. You're actually turning from the gift rather than to it. So when you rest in Him, you'll open up to the blessing of God and the healing of God. And this is also true concerning the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So tonight, if you've not yet prayed in tongues, get ready. Rest in this. It's going to open up to you very simply and very easy. Are you ready for God's word on this? Okay, here's what I want to do. I'm going to talk about I'm just going to call it simple truths. Someone say truths. Truths about the Holy Spirit baptism. I like truth, don't you? I don't like speculation. I have no interest in speculation at all. All right? Pastor and I were talking today, and I told him about how I was actually at a revival meeting downtown Dallas, and the pastor of the church got up, and he announced what he was going to be preaching on Sunday morning. And he said, Sunday morning, I'm going to preach. This is not a joke now. He said, Sunday morning, I'm going to be preaching on, are there demon city bases on the dark side of the moon? I thought, now, how about that? Wow. I almost wanted to come out to hear that one. But I like truths. I like things that I can base my life on. I want things that are sure things. I'm going to talk about some simple truths concerning this Holy Spirit baptism. And the first one's found in the book of Acts chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 38 and 39 in just a moment. And this is what you're going to see from this verse. One of the first truths I want to present to you tonight is that this baptism is for everyone. Come on, someone say it's for everyone. Everyone. Help me preach this now. It's for everyone. Everyone. Oh, that's right. And maybe you could say it's for me. Yeah. You see it now, Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39. This is the case where the outpouring of the Holy Spirit has been actualized. There have been about 120 that have received the gift. They poured out onto the streets in Jerusalem from where they have received this gift, and it has stirred the city. People have come. There's a Jewish festival going on called Pentecost, and they've come down from all over the city, and they're watching these guys, and they're asking the question, what in the world is going on? Because they hear them praising God in languages that they know these men have not learned. And then this, because of the nature of the festival, people have come from from all over the world to participate in this feast that have adopted Judaism as their faith. And they're saying, good night. We're hearing these guys, that we, these Galilean men, that we know they don't know our home language, but they're speaking clearly in the languages from our own country. What is happening? Peter's going to get up, and he's going to preach to them, and he's going to tell them that this is that which Joel prophesied about, that in the last days God would pour out of his Spirit upon all flesh. But then he'll go on to explain to them that there's something more basic or fundamental that they must first understand, and that is this, that Messiah has come. It was Jesus of Nazareth. He tells them, but now you rejected him and crucified him. He said, yet God raised him from the dead, and I'm a witness to that. And now we jump in at this point of the message where it says, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you, someone say every one of you, look at every one of you, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off. Look at this, even as many as the Lord our God will call. And if you understand the text and the thesis there, the call is unto repentance. So he's saying to everyone that's been called to repentance, this gift is open to you. But notice something about the way Peter preached that day. When he spoke of repentance, he said, let every one of you, he called everybody, are you listening? Everybody to repentance. He didn't stand up there that day and say, now look, I've been around this Jerusalem area all my life, and I know some of you guys, and here's the deal. You might as well forget it. You know, I mean, it's just not going to work for you. You guys are, you're bad to the bone, and I just don't think you need to bother with this repentance thing, because I don't think it's going to work for you. He didn't preach it that way. You know why? Because there's no one so bad that they cannot be saved. Now, neither did he look at that crowd and say, and by the way, I know some others of you here, and you're just such great guys. You really got your act together. You're really putting it out. I don't know that you actually need this. But here, he preached. He didn't, you know, here's another side of the truth. Well, it's true that there's no one so bad that they cannot be saved. There is no one so good that they need not be saved. So when he preached repentance that day, without hesitation, he preached it to everybody. Now, in the same vein, if you continue through, you'll find out that he follows that line of thought through every aspect of it, water baptism and even unto the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't say, now here's the deal, everybody's got to repent, but not only some of you should get the gift of the Holy Ghost, or a few of you could have the gift of the Holy Spirit, with the same authority, with the same power, with the same assurance that he preaches repentance unto all, he also tells every one of them that they can have the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, here's what I'm saying to you guys. Look. You can have this. You can have this. Sometimes, if we've asked God for something, and particularly if we've asked Him a time or two, and it hasn't panned out for some reason or another, just hasn't connected with us, we start looking for reasons why it shouldn't be or why it may not be. And before you know it, we start excluding ourselves. Well, maybe God has another idea for me. Maybe He's got another purpose for me. Maybe there's a higher reason why I don't get this thing. No, let me help you pass this bump right now. If you want to get the gift of the Holy Ghost, just relax and understand, come on, it's for you. You can yet have this baptism of the Holy Spirit, because the promise, he says, is to you. And he went out and he says, it's to your children. Now, everybody can have this thing. He says, it's to all that are afar off. All right? And he's looking generationally when he says that, because the indicator of the original language doesn't denote distance, it denotes time. So he's speaking generationally. It's to you, it's to your children. And instead of saying to your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren, he just said, into all that are afar off. And then he nailed it. He said, for as many as the Lord our God shall call. Look, if you're out there saying, well, I don't know about all this stuff, Dale, but here's one thing I do know. I do know I'm saved. Well, then I can say to you, there's something I know too. I know that you can have the gift of the Holy Ghost. Don't cut yourself out of it. Don't exclude yourself from it. Don't step back from it. This gift is for everyone. Here's another truth concerning the Spirit baptism. Is not only is it for everyone, but I like this. It's for right now. It's for right now. Do you know that the biblical pattern was that people were expected to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit immediately upon hearing the gospel? If you study the New Testament, you'll find out they were never told, all right, now here's what you got to do. You got to repent. You got to be water baptized. And then you need to pay tithes for about 6 months. And you need to go through our 47-week new convert class. All right. And then when you get that all together, then maybe it would be, you'll be ready, or it would be legal for you to get the gift of the Holy Ghost. And actually, truthfully, they expected people to experience repentance. And if water was nearby, they're going to stick you under too, right there, you know. And then, come on, let's do it now. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's actually for right now. You want to listen. If you've been saved for more than 5 minutes, you're already behind. Jump up and grab it. Don't think, well, I think I'll be ready some other day. You're ready. And truthfully, once you're born of the Spirit, guys, you're ready for everything that God has for you. And this gift is a fundamental basic gift that's for everybody, and it literally is for right now. Why would you wait another day for that which has already come? It's here. Now, can I throw another idea out to you? That's the truth about this baptism, and that is receiving this baptism is not qualified by spiritual maturity. It's not qualified. In other words, you don't have to. I don't know. This is an absurd statement, but I'm going to say it anyhow because I got the mic, and you've already taken the offering, and I'm not giving it back, so I can just say whatever I want. But it's not like you got to get saved and then I don't know, climb to some other higher level. I don't even know what that would mean. I mean, when you get saved, you're kind of there, aren't you? But anyhow, it can come to some other super spiritual level before you actually are mature enough to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Again, let me remind you, apart from the initial outpouring, nearly all other records show us that people receive the gift of the Holy Spirit as soon, or at least very soon, after they had repented. It was something that just came one right after the other. I mean, Acts 2 and verse 41, and today at Pentecost, after this gospel was preached, we understand that 3,000 people responded to the call into the kingdom, and we understood from this also that they would receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 9 and the opening 18 verses, we see that the Apostle Paul had his moment of conversion, and 3 days after he was converted, he would receive his sight, because he had been blinded at that moment, and he would also receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 14, you have the record where the Samaritans had received the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And while the gospel had been preached with power and miracles of healing had happened and water baptism had been experienced, as soon as the news got back to Jerusalem that the Samaritans had received the gift of the Holy Ghost, do you remember the number one question that was asked? The very first question that was asked when they heard that the Samaritans had responded to the gospel message, they asked, did they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? They didn't ask them, did everybody get an email address collected? They didn't ask, did everybody get on our Facebook page? That first... Why is legal to smile unlimited on a Monday night? You only got two on Sunday, but Monday you can go at it all you want. All right? I say it humorously, but the truth is, the question they had was, had they received the gift of the Holy Ghost? You know, that shows us a couple of things. First of all, you don't have to be some kind of spiritual hot rod to get the gift. And number two, it was a high priority in their mind. Did you get that? If that's the first thing that came to mind, had they received? They heard the gospel? Oh, they embraced Jesus as Lord? Oh, they been water baptized? Wonderful. But have they received the gift of the Holy Ghost is what they wanted to know. Wow. In Acts chapter 10, the gospel was first preached to the Gentiles, and we find that at that point, this is at Cornelius' house, and here's what we find out, that as Peter was preaching the word, they believed. No one raised their hand, no one walked up the aisle while the choir swayed, singing, "Just as I am." Well, I'm really sarcastic on Monday, aren't I? That's it. You know, I've been living here in the South for many, many years now, but I was raised in New York, and I still can't get that out of me. How can I say? Keep praying, brother. Keep praying. Now, I will help you out with that, because there was someone just the other day, they found out I was raised up in New York, and I could see that they had the spirit of confusion on their face. Because they had seen the anointing of God Sunday night, and they said, how could this be? How could a Yankee have the anointing of the Holy Spirit? But here's what I want you to know, that while my mother was born and raised in Niagara Falls, my dad was born and raised in Mobile, Alabama. Ah, you say, now, finally it makes sense. We got it. Okay, there's how it's working on out. Okay, but where was I anyhow? Oh, yeah. We were talking about the gospel was preached in the Gentile community for the first time. As he preached, they believed. And the way he figured out that they believed, we understood, oh, good night, these guys have already embraced the message of who Jesus is because that before he could finish his message, they all broke out praying in tongues, receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, Pastor, you know, I know you're a student and you've been to the Bible school and they told you how to lay out a message. Now you have your introduction and so on and your core part and then you have your conclusion and so. Wouldn't it be nice if we all knew when it was time to stop preaching? Because when it was time to stop preaching, everybody just broke out in the Holy Ghost. Wouldn't that just be a wonderful thing if literally everybody in the room received the gift of the Holy Spirit? Well, that's what it was like for Peter. When that took place, he thought, well, I guess that's the end of the message right there, you know. But here's what you saw. These guys didn't have time to go through a big maturity class. Just as soon as they embraced Jesus as Lord, this gift was open and available to them. You get where I'm going on this? I'm trying to get your pastor to struggle because we beat ourselves up. You do understand. Now, we try to, when things aren't working out good, you know, we often like to blame the devil. The devil's just been working so hard, you know, on that. And I know the devil does get involved in people's lives, but I think sometimes that if we could kick in the rear end the guy that gave us the most problems, it'd be that person we see in the mirror every morning. We give ourselves more. I think sometimes the devil could take notes from us so he could figure out what to do to our neighbor, because we know how to beat ourselves down really bad. I'm going to tell you, I want you to be comfortable, and I want you to be released from the tension of it tonight. I want you to know that here's the deal. The gift's for you. It literally is for everybody, and it's for right now. You don't have to wait to some other day, and you don't have to become some spiritual guru or hot rod in order to receive the gift. If you're born of the Spirit, come on, guys, you're ready to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's just really true. And you know, one of the practices of receiving this gift of the Holy Spirit is because it literally opens, this is a real truth, it opens to you a supernatural communication hotline to the throne of God. You say, what's it all about? So we're going to talk in a language we don't know. Boy, that's weird. But what's it all about, really? Well, here's what it is. There's many things, but here's just one truth or aspect of it, that it is a supernatural communication hotline. Right through to the throne of God. Now, some of you may remember Sunday that I mentioned that I evangelized for 20-some years, and then I pastored for 15 years. And my first church I pastored was a church in Central Florida. And my secretary and her husband, who functioned as our soundboard guy, we just became the closest of friends. And even though it's been years now, 20 years since I've been there, we're still close friends. We still see each other. We still text. At times, Debbie and I have even gone on vacation with them. We just have a close relationship, and I suppose we will all our life. And I was down there preaching not long ago, and I went to their home. And his name is Lamar, and Lamar is a good friend, but Lamar's got a disease. And Lamar's never going to get delivered from it. He's never going to get healed, and because he doesn't want to. He loves it. That's just part of who he thinks he is. And so I was at his home and that afternoon, and the disease was manifesting. It's a disease that mostly men get, not ladies. Some ladies get it, but it's very rare. Mostly men get it. It's a disease. It's called channel surfing. You know, when you put a remote in his hand, he has no control. It just begins to spasm like this, and he's got to just punch the button over and over again. So you got the... Are you okay out there? So you got the TV on, but you don't ever really get to see more than 90 seconds. of any channel that's on. So, you know, it's there, and you're kind of like, now what's that? Oh, I think I got what? And it's gone. It's just gone, just like that. Just about the time you get the idea. And so he was in full-blown manifestation when he dropped in on I don't know what station it was, because it went by too fast, but it was a television station that just shows old programs from the 60s and 70s. That's all they got. And when he hit it, it happened to be the old Adam West Batman program. And when he landed on it, it was right there. We were all in the Bat Cave, only for about 60 seconds, though. We were there. But we were in the Bat Cave, and there was that red telephone sitting on the desk. And I don't know what I'm talking about right now. And it had no numbers on it or anything like that, because you didn't need any. You just picked the thing up, because that only went one place. It went right directly to the police commissioner's office. Well, now you understand where I'm going on this thing. Although you say, I think you're going down the crazy road. No, I'm not. No, I'm back into sanity right now. But here's what happens. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, I got to tell you something. You bypass everyone else. When men pray in the Spirit, they're not even speaking to men. They're speaking right to God. And in the Spirit, the Bible says, they're actually speaking mysteries. I think that when we pray in the Holy Ghost, we got a direct line right to the very throne of God. The Scripture even teaches us that when we pray in the Spirit, we actually pray in perfect harmony with God's will. In times when we don't even intellectually understand how to pray, we pray every time in perfect harmony. Harmony with the will of God. One of the great reasons and truths about this Holy Spirit baptism is it takes our communication level and bumps it up to a place that you will never be able to do intellectually. I don't care how much you study, how much you know, he gives us an ability to talk to Him in spiritually intelligent ways. Wow. You know that when you pray in the Holy Ghost, here's another truth, that you actually find great spiritual development that comes into your life, maturing. Now, I said a moment ago that you don't have to be spiritually mature to get this gift, but I'll tell you one thing, this gift will produce a maturing within your life. Did you understand what I just said there? In fact, Jude says it like this, Jude verse 20. You say, well, what chapter? Well, Jude's only got one chapter, so it's just Jude verse 20 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't know how it works with you, but with me, I spend a great deal of time praying in the Holy Ghost. It's not the only way that I pray, but it's the predominant way that I pray. That I'll pray. I pray with my understanding. I pray the Word of God like we talked about earlier already this week. But I pray in the Spirit, because I know when I'm praying in the Spirit, I'm actually sounding the most intelligent than I ever have in heaven. Now, let's just get down to this thought. Let's finalize with this truth. Receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you something I told you right in the beginning. Receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost is easy. It's all about cooperation. Let me say it again. Receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Follow me now. I'm going to talk to you about how to open your heart and receive this. It's easy. It's easy. It's all about cooperation. If you look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, you have the biblical outline of how this gift is actualized in a person's life. Acts 2, most of you can quote it, verse 4, and it says this. Watch it. Now, we're just going to walk right through. When we walk through this verse, you'll say, oh, Lord, is that how it happens? This makes sense. I know how to do this. He says this, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Do you notice how many got it? All of them. So everybody can have this. They were all filled. Believe the Scripture now. Look at how it works. Don't look at the Scripture and think, well, that won't work for me. This is how it works. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. I'm going to be very plain now. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Tongues means languages, and other means other than what they knew, all right, other than what they were trained in or understood. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Oh, by the way, did you notice who was doing the speaking? Did you notice in the text who's doing the speaking? Someone says the Holy Ghost. No. No, the grammar indicates they're the ones that did the speaking. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak. No. You know, the reason why a lot of folks struggle in receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit is because they're waiting for God Now, I don't like what I'm about to say, but I don't know how to say this any different. I ran into that last night, didn't I? Sometimes it's hard to take spiritual things and put it into natural verbiage. So can you give me a little mercy? I'm doing the best I know how. And I don't like what I'm about to say, but it's the only way I know how to say it. Here's the thing. Why some people are struggling in receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost is because they're expecting God to come and possess them like a demon and take control of their lips, their tongue, their vocal cord, their body, their whole thing. And they get so pseudo-religious over it. You know, they give it to you this. And it sounds logical, but it actually makes no sense at all. They say, well, we just want it to be all God and none of us. But it's never really all God. There's always that which God does, and then there's that which we do in harmony with Him. Do you understand that? Even salvation, you understand salvation? Now, when you look at it, it was His idea, His plan, all right? And He sent His Son, and He poured out His blood, bore our sins in His own body on the tree, raised from the dead to justify us and give us it. And then He sent us His Holy Spirit to convict us and draw us unto Himself. But that was it. At that point, when the conviction of sin comes to you, you're not saved. You've got to respond. Am I right? Even though He did all the work, He devised the plan, He paid the penalty, yet there was something that we had to do. Now, what we did not qualify us or earn it by any means at all, but it opened us to what He did. So what we had to do, when He called, we had to come. He didn't grab us by the neck and say, here's how it's coming down tonight, buddy. You're getting saved. Like it or not, it's over with. You're getting saved now. No, sir. We had to respond. We had to come. We had to humble ourselves. We had to call upon His name. Am I right? And we had to believe and embrace that which He had given. We had to declare Him as our Lord. There's that which He does, and then there's that which we do in cooperation with Him. You're going to find that to be true about all of the things of God. You want to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, don't come up here tonight, throw your tongue over your lowers, and say, there it is, God, wag it. It's not how it's going to work. You're going to have to do the talking. You say, well, good night, man, then it's never going to happen. How am I going to talk in a language I don't understand? Well, look at the rest of the text. Look at the rest of the text. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as... Watch this, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, did you get that? The Spirit, look at His part. They spoke, now watch, this is really deep. They spoke as He gave them something to say. Or in other words, He gave them something to say, and they said it. Is that clear? Is that it? That's really it. He gave them utterance. You know what utterance means, don't you? Well, it means, well, in simple words, it means something to say or inspired speech. That's what He did. He gave them something to say, and they opened their heart and their mouth together, and they worshiped Him with what He put into them. If you have a hunger to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, it's very easy. It's just all about cooperation. That's what it is. So here's what we'll do. In just a moment, we're going to come around this front. And we're going to take a few minutes. Now, follow what we're going to do. We're going to take a few minutes and just worship the Lord. Now, we're going to do that not because we're Pentecostal and we don't know what else to do. We're going to do that for this reason. We're going to do it because Jesus is the baptizer. And if you don't connect with Him, this is never going to happen. Now, I mean, I'll be glad to lay hands on you. I'll be glad to pray with you. But and I'm about to say something. And what I'm going to say is not a result of me being insecure. And it's not a result of me trying to be humble either. But I'm going to tell you straight up, I'm not the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. He's the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Are you on target with me right now? He's it. So if you don't connect with Him, if you don't open your heart, if you don't just zero in on Him, if you're just looking to get tongues or get blessed or get, you'll miss it. Just look to Him. He's the core and the source. He's the fountain of this whole thing. So when we come around the front for just a moment, here's what we're going to do. Forget about everything else and just connect with Jesus. Just begin to love on Him. Just begin to bless Him. Just begin to magnify Him. Get to that point where something's going on between you and him. That's where real worship happens. Real worship is not the result of repeating just some religious phrases that sound nice. Worship happens as we begin to interact with this awesome God. And let that begin to happen in your heart. That may take a moment or two, but warm up to his presence. Don't be in a rush. And then when that begins to happen right here, you'll know it. I'll know it too. When that begins to happen, then we can handle this a couple of ways. Sometimes we just go ahead and say, well, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Just ask him for the gift. Or when that happens, in that moment, when I see it begin to happen, I may just go ahead and just speak out and say, hey, that's it. Go ahead. Receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. When I say that, here's what I want you to do. I want you to stop talking any language you already know. Now, I'm going to be very practical. We're not going into Bible here. I'm going to make some common sense statements to you. All right? If you're ever going to speak in a new language, you got to stop talking in the one you got. I mean, that's just it. You don't need chapter and verse for that. Unless you got more than one mouth in your head, you can only talk one language at a time. I mean, even if you knew more than one language, even if you knew French and English, here's the deal. You can't speak French and English simultaneously. At some point, you got to stop speaking English in order to start speaking French. Am I right? Or stop speaking French in order to start speaking English. So here's why I think, again, some people have struggled in receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, because they come up and they start to worship, as it would be all right to do, and they just begin to bless the Lord. And then they'll say, now, God, I'm here tonight to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And in fact, I'm going to tell you what, I ask for it in Jesus' name. And because I've asked in Jesus' name, I'm going to take it by faith. I'm going to claim it. I'm going to say, that's mine, right? And I'm going to say, thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to say, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, amen. Thank you. I believe it, Lord. I receive it. It's mine in Jesus' name. Glory to God. And you go up 45 minutes later and say, well, I never got it. I wonder why. I know why. You never shut up. At some point, it's not like this is the only way it could work, but at some point, it just helped you out. You just stop speaking in any language you know, and then listen in your heart. You say, what do you mean? Well, here's the deal. He's going to give you utterance. And while it will come to your head, it's not going to come from your head. Yeah. Did you all understand that? It's going to rise up from the inside. And it'll be a word or a syllable or a sound that you've never learned, and you don't understand what it means. Now, your head's going to want to go, dear Lord, what is that all about? And he wants to grab it and say, let's make some sense of this. And if you do that, you'll get stuck there. Here's what happens. Whenever God moves on us, not just on this baptism, but you'll find this is true about spiritual flow to begin with in any area. Whenever God moves on us, we do one of two things. We all do it. We're all human. We do it. We'll do one of two things. We'll either cooperate with it, or we'll analyze it. Am I right? I still do it. I wish I could tell you only do that the first time, and after that, it's all over. But I find myself still, when God moves on me, sometimes I look at that. Is that really God? I'm not sure. Is that really the Lord? You know, am I the only one that does this, or is anyone else in the house saying, yeah, I've been there, done that too? We do that. So here's what you want to do. If you want to receive this gift tonight, let me help you with this. Here's what you want to do. Make a commitment to yourself right now. Make that, if you want this, make that, but you need to make this commitment. Don't make it to me. Make it to yourself right now. And the commitment goes like this. The minute he gives me something to say, I'll say it. Is that fair enough? That seem like one you could do? If I'm up here praying with you and you hear me praying in the Holy Ghost, don't say what I'm saying. I'll say, well, let me listen to him. Let me start with that. That's not going to work. I'm not the one that gives utterance. I'll pray with you. I'll lay my hands on you. I'll trust God with you. But he's going to give you something to say. And so all you want to say to yourself is, you know, I'm not here to do him or do like him or do like her. But the minute he gives me something to say, I'll say it. And follow the way I laid that out for you. Not like, when he gives me something to say, I'll think about it for about 3 hours and then give it a try. Because you'll kill yourself that way. What you want to do is the moment he opens to you a new way to praise him, right away, open your mouth and worship him with it. You say, well, what if I only get one word? Well, then work that baby. That's what you do. You don't sit and wait for 1,700 words. You just, here's another true thing about moving in the Spirit. Generally, God will not show you 87 steps before you take that first one. Now, we wish He'd do that. We want Him to map out from here to eternity exactly where we're going and what turns we're making, but it doesn't really happen that way. It really doesn't. What He's going to do, He's going to give you that first step. And that's where the faith aspect becomes involved. Because what we got to do is we've got to take that first step. And until you take that first step, you'll never see the second one. It just doesn't come through like that. So that's where you step into the moment and you start moving with God. I'm being very plain, but is it easy to understand? Mm-hmm. This is how it works out.